a Nacho Radio podcast. And this one is exclusively for the patrons.
The beautiful people, the beautiful people.
You people that make it all happen. Hey, everybody, welcome to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things, a patron-only show today. This is an experience that is just for the people who are willing to pay for it.
What was the Bryan Adams song that was so big, like one of his last big hits?
Everywhere I Go, Kids Wanna Rock?
No, I mean a real hit, an actual hit.
Can't Stop This Thing We've Started?
No, an actual hit.
That was a big hit. That was top 10.
Top 10 on the Billboard charts?
Can't Stop This Thing We Started?
What was his last number one?
Oh, was he, golly. I would assume it's with him and Sting and Rod Stewart, All for Love would be his last.
Did that go all the way to number
one? Oh, that thing was a monster.
Was that from Robin Hood?
I think you know it was.
Okay.
Robin Hood, Darren, that's the Prince of Thieves.
But not that.
What was his last
Men
number?
Men in Tights. Was it the Prince of Thieves, Men in Tights?
Yes, I stand corrected. It was Men in Thieves, Prince of Tights.
Spaceballs. Men in Tights, Spaceballs. Because, well...
I'm looking at his singles.
Smash.
From Waking Up the Neighbors? I mean, Waking Up the Neighbors was his last real solid...
Wasn't that a compilation album?
Everything I do for you.
That's how I feel today.
Is that where we were going this whole time?
That
was a big one, too.
Oh, it feels...
That was from the Prince of Tides, too, though, wasn't it? Or the Prince of Thieves or whatever. That was from Robin Hood, wasn't it?
Both were? They can't
no.
both
No, okay,
can't
wait a minute.
Be.
Wait a minute. And I know you guys are screaming at the machine. All for Love was from the Three Musketeers.
Okay.
And Everything I Do for You was from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Talk about getting...
We got in the weeds there on some Robin Hood, Bryan Adams.
Branch out a little bit, Bryan Adams.
All right, Can't Stop This Thing We Started was the follow-up. You want to guess how high that went on the charts?
Number 20.
It peaked in the United States, Darren, at number 2.
Oh, boy.
Number 2 on the Billboard
charts. Is
that
charts. When he had the different haircut?
I don't remember his
haircut. Or he started using product in his hair?
Well.
Is that what it was?
My argument is that's his last big hit. There Will Never Be Another Tonight was the follow-up to that one, which it doesn't look like that did as well. Okay. It doesn't even look like that one charted.
Well, that was the
sentiment. Oh, wait a minute. No, here it went to 31 on the charts here. There Will Never Be Another Tonight. I can't say I remember that one. Bryan Adams, I saw him at your workplace at the Modern Woodman Park.
Right.
And with Def Leppard.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in thinking, all right, we'll get through the Bryan Adams, and then it's time for the Def Leppard.
Stop, Bryan Adams!
Bryan Adams was awesome!
Ever stop! Don't leave the stage! Forget Def Leppard!
Def Leppard, Schmeff Schmefford! Yeah, I was like Kelly Preston and Jerry Maguire.
Forget it!
He was, although, you know, they both have this in common, the Bryan Adams and the Def Leppard. Robert Mutt Lange was the producer.
Oh, that's true.
Right? That was the guy for whom Shania Twain wasn't enough action.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then he ends up banging some chick on the side from Shania Twain, and then that chick's husband...
Shania Twain?
No.
The tribute?
No.
That would be a kick.
Imagine if you came home early from work, and your partner was in bed with a tribute act.
To you. What?
I thought this was a loving tribute. I don't know that I'd be as mad.
It's Def Leppard. This guy's really deaf.
No, this guy had his arm cut off surgically to replicate the feeling.
No,
I hope
they don't do that. It's one thing to have your hair, your scalp surgically altered to look like Neil Diamond, but to actually have your arm removed so that you can be part of a Def Leppard tribute band just doesn't make any sense.
I was excited the other night. I wanted to go see, there was a Nirvana tribute band at the River Music Experience, and I thought, I'll go see that. I think it's called, like, Nirvana or something.
Well, and it was, and I was looking at it. See, I don't know. I don't think I'm dyslexic at all.
No, it looks like Nirvana.
But when I was reading, it's like, how can you call yourself Nirvana
right.
as a tribute to Nirvana?
Right. It's called Nirvana or something,
where they
juxtapose two letters. But they use the font, and if you're not paying attention, you would think...
And which I wasn't paying attention.
No.
It's like, that's interesting.
So I thought, well, that could be fun. I sure enjoy the Nirvana.
Loving tribute to the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones.
Doesn't seem right.
No.
Then I was doing comedy sports, and I thought, oh, I'll get done with the show, and then I'll go over there and see a little bit of this Nirvana. That would be fun to see. I haven't seen live music in forever. But the show was sold out. Couldn't get in.
There you go.
Yeah. Still. But now I guess there's another Nirvana tribute band coming to the boat in a couple of weeks. So that's the big thing now, Nirvana tribute acts. Two Nirvana tribute acts coming to this town in the space of 6 weeks.
Yeah, separate, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah. I almost want to go to see both of them and be like, which one's more Nirvana?
Look, I got glasses that look just like Kurt. 1, 2, 3.
And.
Let's go. And this guy's going to throw his bass up in the air and get hit in the head.
So when you're in a tribute band, you have to try and replicate it. Like, you don't open What Smells Like Teen Spirit, right? You make the crowd wait for that, which seems weird because you don't really
of songs.
Yeah, I know that. Believe me, I know that. No one knows that more than I do. But you kind of have to play with it a little.
Build
bit,
up
right?
to it.
When you
get
and
some
I
drinks
saw,
in them.
You and I have seen now two separate Neil Diamond impersonators.
Dedications.
Tributes. There was a Tom Sage.
Yes.
And then who was the other?
Jay White.
Jay White was the one who had his scalp. He had the hair on his head burnt off.
Right.
So he looked like more like Neil Diamond.
Kill the hair on my scalp. I need you to push it back an inch.
Like he went to someplace and they just
pull the hair out. Pull the hair out of my head. Yes. And then put like a flat iron on it.
Right.
To kill it so it never grows back.
Like I'm a much older man, like Mr. Neil Diamond is. So what this guy did was he basically had like Roundup applied to his head. So it was just
something
burnt off. It was a weird.
It's
look.
Like having. It's like having your the fingerprints. Somehow using some sort of acid or something on your fingertips to get rid of your fingerprints if you're a cat burglar.
Years ago, we go to see this Tom Savage
burglar.
at the boat. It was at the waterfront convention place there in Bettendorf, right when it opened
one
up.
One of the early ones.
Yeah. And we go there for an afternoon show.
Well, we took in the matinee.
Yeah.
He was doing two shows.
Yeah.
Let's do the afternoon show.
Which was great because it was us and a couple of busloads of senior citizens.
Everyone had an oxygen tank but us.
Yes, and there was an open bar, and we were the only ones drinking, because it was like 2 in the afternoon.
Yes.
But back then we had, you know, earlier hours.
Yes.
So we're drinking beer, and I'm like, oh, this is great, let's go sit up. And Darren grabs me and goes, no, young one. You don't want to get too close to the stage. Let's sit right about here, and then we'll have that plausible visual deniability.
Use your...
You can just fool yourself into thinking you're actually seeing Neil Diamond.
Use your illusion, too.
That's what it was. I imagine there's Guns N' Roses tribute bands.
Sure.
And I imagine they're hotter than ever right now.
I think one's called Night Train.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm sure they're out there.
I haven't seen them.
I saw that there is a tribute act. You have some of these now, too, that are hybrids.
Oh?
Tribute acts.
So, like... Well, Tom Sedge at one point did You Don't Bring Me Flowers. He performed as Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond, which was a little weird.
Maybe one of the best things I've ever seen. But there's an act coming to the casino in Dubuque, and mm-hmm. it's called Bostix.
So it's Boston and Sticks together?
It is, and they have... their lead singer is someone who did some singing on the last Boston record.
Tomorrow night at Ribco, you can go see Winterland, a regionally acclaimed Grateful Dead experience.
There you go.
I like that. Regionally acclaimed.
Yeah, not nationally.
No.
Not internationally.
Look, we're not going to sit here. We're not going to sit here and pretend. And then a week from tonight at Ribco, I guess, it's the return. And they've spent some money here to promote this band. Cemetery Gates, the Pantera tribute band, is coming back.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess wintertime is when the tribute bands really make their hay. What's that place we go to in Milwaukee, that Shank Hall?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every time I check the lineup there to see if anyone cool is coming, it's always, Can't Stop Dancing, a tribute to the Talking Heads, or Stop Making Sense.
Zoo Station, Milwaukee's tribute to U2.
I forgot about Zoo Station.
That's right, they're there.
The tribute to U2, wow.
Anyway, everything I do it for you. Thank you, patrons.
Which is the point. Yes, thank you, patrons, for all that you've done to continue the show. We could not do it without you. Well, we do, but it would just be a phone call. We wouldn't put it on the internet.
Maybe a text.
Let's be honest. It would be more of a text at this point.
You know, and you don't have to reply.
I've got a bunch of stories. Do we? When we do the Patreon show, do we present it as top five things?
You can present it any way you'd like to.
Okay, well, I mean...
however you'd like to. However you're comfortable.
There's no commercial reads for this, so I mean, we can just kind of freeform it.
Do it any way you want.
I want to start with this one. In Pittsburgh, a man thought that Pat Sajak was giving him directions to kill his mother. Watching Wheel of Fortune, and... he's like, yeah, okay, Mr. Sajak, whatever you say. This is...
things you should do. Three words. Uh-huh. Starts with a K.
Guy in Akron, Ohio. Did I say Pittsburgh? Akron, Ohio.
That's nowhere near Pittsburgh,
well,
is it?
Well, it's closer to Pittsburgh than we are.
It's true.
This guy believed that Pat Sajak was giving him instructions to kill his elderly mother. He has been found not guilty by reason of insanity. Derek Williams, 48
years old. Wonder if that
makes
her feel any better.
He thought he was getting messy. Oh, Mom's dead, by the way.
Oh, she is?
Oh, he did kill Mom.
Oh, he did?
Yes. Oh, yeah, Mom's quite dead because Pat Sajak commanded it. The defense attorney for this guy says that...
So I suppose that doesn't make her feel any better.
No, well, I mean, she feels as good as you're going to feel.
Which is pretty stable.
Yeah, right. She's in stable condition. Yeah. He says that he was watching...
I felt worse.
...the wheel when he was getting messages from Sajak to kill his mother.
Kill your mother.
He thought Sajak was...
Yes! $30,000 and I'm going to Italy!
Tell the neighbors you're having steak tonight.
And the answer is... He wasn't on Wheel of Fortune, was he?
No, he was watching the wheel.
Because if he was on Wheel of Fortune...
He did not bludgeon his mother while on the show.
And the actual clue, the actual answer is, kill your mother. Is it kill your mother?
Dun, dun, dun!
Thank you, Vanna. Huh. Originally, I thought maybe pill your mother, but that doesn't make any sense.
Well, he had already been called, so that wouldn't work. Yeah, this... The judge ruling that, yeah, he's not guilty by reason of insanity because, of course, Pat Sajak will never tell you on the show to kill your mother.
So I suppose,
yeah,
being that he was found crazy.
Right.
He's
not crazy, Darren. Not guilty by reason of insanity.
Okay, insane.
Yes, clearly insane.
Insane.
Yes.
So he still gets to watch Wheel of Fortune.
I wouldn't.
But he does.
I'd be like... He could in prison, I imagine. I would put a stipulation that he's not allowed to watch that show if I were the judge. Like,
but found not guilty.
Yeah. Well,
so you're saying he's in prison? He's not guilty.
I see what you're saying.
He can't be in prison if he's not guilty.
Well,
now he might be somewhere else, but that somewhere else probably you're allowed to have televisions.
I see what you're saying. So they put him in an institution. Yeah, I mean, because you can't have this guy on the streets, right?
You wouldn't think.
If he thinks Pat Sajak's telling him to commit murder.
Well, that's...
Let me ask you this.
If
you're Pat Sajak and you hear this story, what's your reaction?
Probably gets it every day.
Right?
Probably gets this sort of thing every day.
Oh, is this another story where people think I'm telling people
Pat,
to kill their mothers?
Pat, stop talking to me through your clues.
See, I've had this happen where people have thought I was telling them things that I wasn't telling them. I've had... mentally unwell people.
That's a Paul song.
Call me and tell me things that, you know, I know that you played this song because this happened to me today, and then you played this song because of this that happened to me today.
It happened once.
There were two separate women when I was working at the Planet. Mm. The one thought that I was picking out songs.
You sure they just weren't split personalities?
Yes, definitely sure. I met them. I met them.
Oh, they both showed up.
They both showed up at various station
events.
At
the same time?
No, it was different points of my life. Yeah, it was like they were separated by a year. The one thought that I was picking songs very specifically as a soundtrack to her life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was convinced that I had microphones all over her home. And that I was an agent of the federal government, and she was just tired of it, and she just wanted it to stop.
Okay, we stopped it.
Yeah, well, see, that was the thing, is... I thought, well, this is a goof. I'll play along.
I pulled
and
the
plug. That was a mistake. Playing along on a goof with someone who's clearly mentally unwell, not the best idea. Yeah. She would show up at station events like, I need to talk to you about this, and how do we get these people to stop listening to me?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, what are you saying? What are you trying to hide?
That's what I said. I was like, I've already said too much, like, which I should not have done. Like, see? In retrospect, that was a dick move. To tell someone who is out of her mind that, yeah, you're onto something here. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you.
Enjoy some more Harris pizza. Just don't wad it up into an apple.
Please.
Like an orangaroon, okay? If you could just do that. If you could just eat pizza like a normal human being. You know, with your hands, with a fork.
All right. So what Darren's alluding to, I'm sure we've told this story before.
We have told the story. Some people eat pizza with an app, like an apple.
This guy who was a postal worker, he would show up at our station events where we had free pizza. He would take about a third of the pizza with his bare hands, his unwashed hands, wad it up into a ball, and then just walk around and eat it like it was an apple.
And complain that women aren't giving him a chance.
I was at the vinyl store there, the record shop, about a year or so ago, getting some vinyl records. In downtown Davenport, mm-hmm. They kicked that guy out of the store. He was on his phone loudly screaming stock tips. He was wondering, like, what different stocks were like.
Right.
What's 3M at, Jerry? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? How about IBM? What's that at? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Okay, how about Apple stock? What's that at? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? And they're like, you have to get out of here now.
What's MCI trading at?
Oh, yeah? Oh, is that right? Is that right? How about,
can I get in on the ground floor of MySpace?
Huh? Huh? Why are all the women in this town stuck up bitches?
They are all just so stuck up. They don't give me a chance.
Well, I don't know that they're wrong to not give you a chance. I don't know that that's the worst idea. Veteran is suing. 4 years ago, he had some surgery. And obviously, something went wrong. The guy's name is Glenn Ford Turner. He went to the Veterans Affairs
Hospital.
That's
an interesting tribute act. A tribute to Glenn Ford and Bachman Turner Overdrive. Glenn Ford Overdrive. Glenn Ford Turner Overdrive.
Now you're talking.
We play BTO tracks and show clips of Glenn Ford movies in the back.
That's right.
Who do you think's older, Glenn Ford or Tennessee? Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Good question.
Glenn Ford's older.
These are fine questions. I don't have an answer to you.
You don't have to have an answer.
Listen, all right, everybody. Hey, everybody! We're Glenn Ford, Turner Overdrive. This next song is called Pocket Full of Miracles.
That's right.
Don't go near the water because we're taking care of business. Glenn Ford Turner is this veteran's name. He goes to the VA in Connecticut. Turns out they left a scalpel in his body for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which he says they should not have done. He's suing. Yeah, when you leave a scalpel in someone's body for 4 years...
How do you not feel that?
Well,
like when you're doing sit-ups.
He said,
these crunches are just...
He says after the surgery, he had unidentifiable abdominal pain. Nobody could figure out what it was. This guy is 61 years old. They went for an MRI for a separate, separate medical issue. And
no reason to cut up your food, though.
I'll tell you this. You got a scalpel in your abdomen. You don't want an MRI.
No.
Because that magnet's going to shoot that thing right out of you.
Probably.
They said it started moving around inside him, and they turned the thing off, mm-hmm. Thank God. Otherwise, this guy would have been stabbed from the inside out.
Yeah.
Because he goes to a VA where they sew a scalpel into his body.
Mm. Clumps when you cook them.
A 5-inch scalpel handle was what it was. Not clear whether or not the blade was still attached to the handle. I don't know that that makes it better or worse. He had to undergo an additional surgery to remove the instrument. VA is not commenting because they typically don't comment on pending litigation. This is the thing, too, I don't understand. Like, I know I'm not smart enough to be a doctor, but I know when I do use tools, I put them all away.
Do you?
I do.
Do you put all your albums away?
Sure I do.
Every time?
Yeah, more
you don't ever let any albums lay around? till the next day?
I think that's more decorative, really. So people know what I'm into.
Oh, look.
That's...
you don't... Oh, that's right. I was an early fan of Aztec Camera.
Oh, did
oh yeah, the early
have
stuff.
Have I not said that? Do people not know that about me? Do you not know that? Oh, yeah, that's Paul Simon from 1972. I'm very into it right now. Going through a bit of a Paul Simon phase. How about this, Darren? Scientists say they've been able to track thought. They're able to scan your brain and see where a thought starts and how it moves around in your brain. They have been able to, neuroscientists have been able to follow a thought as it moves through the brain. They thought this was impossible, and yet they've done it.
And this helps us how?
Probably it's going to help them control our brains. Probably that's why they're doing it, right?
Yeah, they're here. Yeah. So say the dream police.
It was a study using epilepsy patients undergoing surgery, and as a result, now neuroscientists say they have got an opportunity to track in unprecedented detail a thought through the human brain.
But not what the thought is.
No. They're not there yet, but the fact that they're able to do this is nuts.
But we're always having thoughts.
Yeah, but they're able to say that specific... Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're able to say that's a thought about money.
You can't basically go, no thoughts.
Yeah, but you're able to go, that's a thought. That electrical impulse, there is somebody thinking about something, and that's how it moves around the brain.
Chungking for dinner tonight.
I don't hold a grudge. Yeah, the participants in this study were required to listen to a stimulus and respond, and then they were able to take a look and... figure out what's going on. They were able to take a look at the brain as it figures out antonyms. So, like, when you think the word humid and then you think the word dry, your brain, they're able to look at it and see the differences in your brain when you're thinking about those two words. So they're able to some degree, say, okay, he's thinking about this or that.
Antiperspirant.
Now, those are ideas that they put into your head. You know, now we're thinking humid, now we're thinking dry. But still, this is crazy.
I'm thinking
able to do this.
The password is arid extra dry.
Hey, it's Pat Sajak. Kill your mother.
Lincoln.
Everybody knows that.
Everyone knows
Abraham Lincoln hated mayonnaise.
Had a sweating problem. Well, he had plenty of reason to sweat, truth be told.
Yeah, that wife is.
Well, no, not the wife.
That wife is or something else. Remember the Brady Bunch episode where...
You know you're... Yeah, when your wife's name is Todd.
Well, that was her maiden name, yeah.
Sure.
Remember that Brady Bunch episode where Greg and Bobby get locked in Sam's freezer case?
Yes, not long enough.
And then... They bust their way out.
Do they bust their way out?
Yeah.
They do, or they get found?
No. If I remember correctly, Greg shatters the window, and then Bobby's able to crawl out of the window because he's so little.
Cut to ribbons.
Which was good because Greg had saved Bobby's life earlier, and then they were even.
Oh, right.
And I remember Sam finally gets to the butcher
shop. Who's paying for this window?
Sam gets to the butcher shop because Bobby crawls out and then calls Sam, who's on a hot date with Alice. And then I remember this vividly.
Pleasuring her with a bowling trophy.
Sam is...
Ooh, look at this. High score.
Sam is quick to say, that's it. Now I'm going to have to modernize this butcher case. Like he was kind of...
Had been thinking about it?
He'd been thinking about it. I'm going to have to modernize this butcher
There's locker. Nothing wrong with the butcher case. It was the freezer that was the problem.
Right, that's what
And really, there's no problem with the freezer. It's just the kids shouldn't be wandering in it late at night.
This guy in London, he's a butcher. He got locked in his own freezer. And he says he was saved because he was able to use a frozen sausage as a battering ram. I just admire
Not unlike the- Sam, not unlike Sam the butcher with Alice.
This guy became trapped in the walk-in freezer there at his London butcher shop when the wind blew the door shut, it says here. The safety button to the door was frozen, and it was 4 degrees below zero in his freezer. He tried to kick the button free, tried a bunch of different things, and then finally, he got a black pudding, a form of blood sausage. It was frozen solid, and he was able to use it like a battering ram.
And is that what happened in the...
he says, black pudding saved my life.
The episode with the Brady Bunch, the kids, did, was it a wind? And the wind cries Barry.
So last night I'm watching. Middle of the night I get up, and I couldn't sleep. And I had never seen this movie before. I've been hearing about it for years. It was on, so I decided to watch as much of it as I could. John Travolta is the boy in the plastic bubble.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mr. Brady's his dad.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's Robert Reed, but like perm Robert Reed with the mustache. It's late 70s.
And Diane Hyland
plays his mom, he was dating at the time.
Or did he start dating her after that?
Okay.
I think he might have kind of fallen for her on the set of Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
So he designs John Travolta. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. The idea of the movie is that it was based on a real story. This boy has an autoimmune disease.
Right.
Where if he's exposed to any germs whatsoever, he'll die.
It's not going
to
be good.
So he lives in a plastic bubble.
Yeah.
Like Seinfeld had a lot of fun with this on one of their episodes.
Yes.
So he's decided...
He's outside in the bubble at some point.
I fell asleep before that happened.
And then he had like his own walking suit too.
Yeah, he has like a space suit that he puts on. At one point, he decides, you know, I'm a little pasty. He's like, look at me. I look like a tuna fish.
I look so weird.
I look like a tuna fish.
I need some sunshine.
So he's like, Mom, Dad, wheel me out so I can do a little sunbathing.
Yeah.
And then he's just letting him have it about how, you know, you guys, you dress awfully and you're lame. And I'm embarrassed to be seen with you. And
can we go to the beach?
Right. And Mr. Brady's like, look at him, like, are you kidding me? Do you know why we don't have a moment's time to do anything for ourselves? Like, you could tell Mr. Brady's had about enough.
Yeah.
And then the mom's like, do you blame us for bringing you in the world? And he's like, oh, it's so weird. I'm trying to get some suntan over here.
What do you mean you brought me into the world? How's that work?
Well, I'm a boy in a bubble. The boy in the bubble and the baboon on the radio. Yeah, it was bizarre. And then Linda Blair's going to high school with him?
Sure.
They're taking a test and he's helping the kids cheat via television. It was something else.
Made for TV, though.
It was a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really, I mean, Robert...
So I think this was the made-for-TV, this where they were capitalizing on his success...
As a sweat hog.
As a sweat hog, but before he gets to Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
I think.
No, he's very much Vinnie Barbarino in this. I mean, he
didn't have, like, he didn't have any of the sweat hogs in the bubble with him, did he? Now, all of a sudden, you just look, and all of a sudden, why is Horseshack in the bubble?
What is this about? PJ Souls is in the is who it is, not Linda Blair. She was in all those 70s movies. The Boy in the Plastic Bubble first aired in 1976 on the ABC television network.
Okay, so then like a year or so before Saturday Night Fever.
Yes. Yeah, the boy's name is Todd. He doesn't have an immune system. So he has to stay in this incubator his whole life. And
I wonder if some of the if members of the Sweat Hogs were like, well, wait a minute. Why does he get to be the boy in the plastic bubble?
Well, come on. I think it's obvious.
Come on.
I think it's obvious. It ends where the movie ends. I'll ruin it for you. It's a TV movie from 41 years ago, 42 years ago. But the movie ends where the doctor's like, hey, we've looked at some things. Turns out... he does have an immune system.
We were wrong!
And then a girl comes over and is like, hey, you want to ride on this horse with me? He's like, you're darn right I do. Oh my God, let's go ride away on a horse.
It's weird. See, I thought he died.
No.
I thought they held him down. I thought they held him down like at a pep rally and took the bubble off of him and killed him.
No. He wants to see more of the world, and then they take him to a doctor, and the doctor's like,
well, wait a minute. These people have been lying to you.
You have built up some immunities. I think it'd be just fine if you got out of that bubble, son. Can I go riding on a horse? Sure, that sounds great. Whatever. Who's next? You ain't got time for every nut job that lives in a plastic
How
bubble.
How old is Falcon these days?
The
bubble boy.
Richard Haney, science detective kid?
Right.
Those kids got to be in college by now, right?
You would think so. Hey, wait a minute. Are you Falcon?
We did it for the show.
Movie theater attendance hit a 24-year low.
Which can't be good, because I can't imagine the year before was good.
Ticket prices are rising, and attendance is down yet again, according to the National Alliance of Theater Owners, or NATO.
Sure.
They say the national ticket average for last year was up 3.7%.
The Northern Alliance of Theater Owners.
That's right. They say that the ticket sales are down, and they're charging more for tickets. Nobody's going to the movies, but people who are paying more.
Well, good. You should.
Annual box office revenue, they say, basically, Memorial Day was good. Labor Day was good. The summer was terrible. Big movies were Beauty and the Beast, The Boss Baby, Logan, It, and, of course, the Star Wars that people enjoyed so well.
Not much to choose from there.
No. So, the way things are going now is...
Was there a cantina in the latest Star Wars? Spoiler alert. Go ahead and give it to me.
Do they go to a cantina?
Were they in a bar?
They were in a casino this time.
Oh.
The casino kind of fulfilled that cantina thing that has to be. Yeah. This time it was a...
So you had like a bunch casino. Of weirdos giving out free drinks?
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
Of course.
I think you'd like the casino. I think there's a couple creatures in this casino you'd be like, That's good. I don't know much about Star Wars, but I like that guy.
And they know some stuff about Star Wars.
You know enough. You know enough to be dangerous.
Except they keep bringing in all these new characters, which I think is kind of cheating.
Well, and you know who else is complaining about Star Wars is the toy makers, because they're saying kids are not buying Star Wars toys anymore.
No, they're done. They're over with it. Your kids don't care.
This is the thing. Yeah, I mean, in this house, there's only one person that buys Star Wars toys, and it's me.
Yeah, kids don't care.
And the thing, too, is if there's a Star Wars movie out every year, kids don't need to keep buying Stormtroopers. It's like, no, I got enough Stormtroopers. I don't need any more. So that's where people are at, is the people at Hasbro are like, we're losing a lot of money on this deal because nobody's buying these damn Star Wars toys.
Which I thought they were gonna.
Mm-hmm. China is going to start destroying space junk with giant lasers. Our Earth, it turns out, is cluttered. There's just a bunch of junk up there. When satellites go bad, we just leave them up there. So the Earth is surrounded by this just ring of trash.
Mm-hmm.
And now these Chinese scientists say...
Now, is that visible from space?
Well, if you're in space, I imagine.
That's what I mean.
Maybe. Oh, you mean like... I mean, it doesn't look like... We don't look like we're Saturn to other planets with all the garbage surrounding
us. No, it looks like Sanford and Son when you get close to Earth.
It's not bad. Thank you. Space junk.
As you get close to Earth.
Boom, 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 boom. Cue the Quincy Jones. Yeah, they're saying the other thing they thought about doing is getting giant nets and sweeping up and collecting the waste.
It is turning into Quark.
Yeah. No, that's a good... Like, if somebody offers you an investment opportunity in cleaning up space garbage... I would invest in space garbage. Because, one...
Space waste management.
Yes. That's what I would do. I read this article the other day. Pedialyte.
Yes.
Pedialyte is...
for kids.
Electrolyte. You give it when your kids have fevers or they're having upset stomachs. When your kids get dehydrated.
Right, yes.
If your kid has diarrhea, you give them Pedialyte. It turns out now, Pedialyte, 55% of the market is millennials who are drinking it when they're hungover.
Sure.
That's something that millennials have. Pediatini. They know that when they're... is this something you've done?
Yeah, it's a
really?
Pediatini.
You have a little Pedialyte just in case? Packs you full of electrolytes?
Pediatini.
So 55% of the market now, a product that is made for babies.
Yeah.
20-somethings are buying, and 55% of...
You got a whole generation that's walking around with sippy cups. Have you noticed that? Everyone's got their individualized water bottle that it's a sippy cup.
Yeah, I guess you're onto something there. I hadn't thought of it, but you're probably right.
I can't get rid of the sippy cup.
There's going to be some sort of satellite crashing this year. Do you know about this? Foster was telling me this on Dapper Crap the other week.
Don't need where we're gonna another get satellite.
I don't know. You don't get Showtime, do you?
I don't believe so.
I guess there's a documentary on XTC that's on Showtime that people are raving about. I got to find somebody that has Showtime so I can go and watch it.
Yeah.
I can't believe that Showtime would be showing an XTC documentary.
They're not still making...
Is it a Russian satellite? There's some sort of big satellite where it's going to be another Skylab, they say. And this thing could be falling on your head at any moment. The Chinese space station, which was launched in 2011, they were going to do a controlled crash on it in 2013. Then they extended the mission to 2016, and then they realized, okay, well, this isn't a good idea. And now they have no control of it. So this is an 8.5-ton space station that's moving at 20,000 miles an hour, and it's going to break up into pieces and crash into planet Earth. But you know, usually when they bring these satellites down, they bring them down in a specific place.
Sure.
They're designed to go down in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
To pollute the oceans, sure.
This thing, they don't know where it's going to land. Now, the good news is 3/4 of the Earth is covered in water. So I like our chances.
And you don't occupy much of the other fourth of
there is that.
Land.
There was a meteor.
You specifically.
Meteor the other night in Michigan.
Yes.
That was so, like, violent when it got into the atmosphere that it caused earthquakes.
Hmm.
And that's something else?
Yeah.
No thanks. No thanks to all of that. So yeah, these Chinese need to clean up their mess because we can't have your stuff falling on our heads, guys. That's not the best idea. How about this? You know, I told you that the movies aren't making a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
The Apple App Store. Just the Apple App Store.
Yes.
So I know you don't have an Apple phone, but just the Apple App Store is going to be making more money in a year, this year, than all of the global Hollywood box office.
Yes.
More money is going to be spent on apps.
Well, that's what people are spending their time with.
Right. People are spending $100 million a day on apps from the Apple App Store.
Do you remember the very first app you had or one of the first apps you had?
Made
it look like you were drinking a beer.
I was pretty happy with that. That's true. That was like I got the iPhone and then...
Hey, I'm going to get it. I'm not... They're called applications. Look at this.
And where did I show this app off to you at? Was it at a bar?
Yeah.
Look at this. Looks like I'm drinking a beer. You have a beer right there, Dave. Yeah, but this one's on my phone, everybody.
It's a virtual beer.
I do remember thinking that was pretty cool. It does seem...
Nothing stays cool, ever.
It does seem a little silly. Now that you mention it. In retrospect, that does seem a little silly. Drunk droning, now illegal in the state of New Jersey.
Makes sense.
We can't have you getting drunk.
You cannot drink and drone.
No.
I mean, you can drone on.
That does
at the
happen.
Bar.
That does happen. Meanwhile, back on land, there is a push now. Scientists calling for a lowering of the drunk driving threshold.
Yes.
They want it to be...
You're too legally drunk.
They want it to be 0.05.
Mm-hmm.
In all states, it's 0.08. It used to be 0.1.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest. It used to be, can you get home? You can get home fine. If you don't take out a mailbox, you're all right. That's how it used to be. And then at some point...
Well, it's unless you crash.
Right.
Nothing to see here.
Right. Usually drunk driving was something that was only brought up because you'd put your car into somebody's garage.
If even that.
Right. Now, no one is suggesting that we should ever go back to those carefree days.
Did I say that?
No. But I just want to be careful here that we're not saying that we thought that was cool. Then it was 0.10, and then it's 0.08. And now they're saying, you know, it really should be 0.05. The alcohol...
Now, who's the lobbying this? Like Uber?
National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. This is a U.S. government commissioned report by a panel...
Of Uber drivers.
Of not Uber drivers. They're calling for the blood alcohol concentration threshold to go from 0.08 to 0.05. Now, it's going to be 0.05, I guess, in Utah, but that doesn't start until the end of this year.
Did you see there where now, kind of along the lines of like an Uber, where you can rent someone's luxury car? That's a new thing? As opposed to renting a car from, say, Enterprise or...
So I've got a luxury car. Why am I letting people I don't know drive it?
Because you're paying me.
That seems like, you know how people treat rental cars? Well,
I get it.
If I was the sort of person that would have a luxury car.
I get it.
I would not let anyone drive it other than myself.
Well, I'm sure there's stuff in the agreement that if you screw it up, you're paying quite a bit of money for it.
How do you know that they, I mean, they could beat it like a donkey. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, I'm just saying that that's a thing now.
And you know they're going to beat it like a donkey.
Why would you?
Why wouldn't you?
I wouldn't.
This is my luxury car. Watch this. I'd be doing neutral drops.
I wouldn't.
Well, why would you ever... I'm trying to imagine a scenario in which you, Darren Pitro, would need to rent a luxury car.
I wouldn't.
Why would you rent a luxury car?
Because I have to ride in luxury.
So are these people who have luxury cars, probably, but they can't afford to pay for the luxury car they have, so they rent it out to help make the payments?
I have no idea. I don't know if they're trying to impress a first date, or if they're in town and I need a car and I'm going to drive a luxury car. I don't know.
But if you're the kind of person that owns a luxury car,
yes.
Why are you letting strangers have your luxury car?
Make money off of it, I guess.
But you already have money. You own a luxury car.
Okay, maybe. Maybe you do.
I don't see how this makes sense for the rentee or the rentor.
I think it's a thing.
I've got a hot date. I need a luxury car. But right. Not from Enterprise.
Well, I don't know that Enterprise has luxury cars.
They absolutely do.
Do they have? Oh, they have. Absolutely. They've got Mercedes Benz and stuff.
Oh, I see. Like a Mercedes Benz.
Yes, I'm talking about a high-end car.
You can get some pretty fancy stuff.
Well, I'm sure you probably can, but I don't know that they're renting out Mercedes Benz because why? How many people want them
for the day?
For the day.
Okay,
or for
the
week.
Like for prom,
we're going to wine country, and we need a car.
We need a luxury car,
yes.
If you'll have it.
Uh-huh.
I'm taking a look here just at Enterprise to see, you know, what I can get.
What's the highest-end car that you can get?
All right, so how many passengers are we looking at? 4 to 5?
Just the two of us.
Oh, my goodness. Economy?
I might sully this luxury car. Backseat later.
I can get you a Cadillac XTS.
Okay, a Cadillac.
Would you like that? All right.
No.
The Cadillac XTS or similar. You can get two bags in this one. My goodness, the luxury. A Cadillac is a luxury car?
No, not to some, but not
what is
to,
it? What is not, this, 1975?
Not to these people.
I don't understand the concept here.
Just saying.
I think we're out of time, man. Okay. I think you got to get to work.
Got to do it to it. We'll be back next week.
We will, although the schedule's going to be a little bit different now.
Keep an eye on Facebook. We'll let you know when we're going to be. It's probably going to be a bit more of a happy hour type situation.
Yeah, things are changing. I'm starting a new job next week, so the morning stuff is going to be going away. And then when the baseball season starts, it's going to be we're going to have to try and find our spots when we can do shows.
We'll get it.
But we'll make it happen.
But this is, yeah, so we'll reveal all to the entire audience, but another normal show next week.
Normal show next week.
Yes.
But it won't be in the morning.
No.
But it'll be for everybody.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just very confused.
Yes. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons. And thank you, Beatles. Thank you.
For Age of Aquarius.
John, Paul, Ringo, and George. Again, you patrons, thanks for all of your support, and until we get a chance to do it again, hang loose, kooks!
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.